Well, thank you so much for tuning in again this week to another episode of Providence Coffee Talk. It is exciting to see how many of you guys went back and listened to last week's episode. And I saw the comments, I saw the text messages and the emails. I know that you guys have some ideas brewing, and that is really exciting to me. We are coming off a crazy week for the Reichard family, and that's been fun and exciting. I did get a chance to go see my parents this past week. That was really cool. I got to see my nieces and nephews, and that was cool as well. But it was also probably one of the craziest travel experiences of my life. I wasn't looking forward to it, not looking forward to doing that again anytime soon, unless I have to, but it was also good to spend time with Olivia and hang out. So thank you guys so much for just praying for us as we traveled and did, and we are excited about being back. The only downside to being back is, as you can tell, I'm a little more nasally this week as the corn allergies and all the harvesting allergies have kind of set in to my system. So now I find myself constantly trying to clear my throat and take allergy medicine and just anything that I can to relieve the fun pressure that's going on in my head on a regular basis. Also, I thought of a fun thing that we could do with this week's episode concerning Providence Coffee Talk. As I went back and listened to last week's episode, I noticed a few little things that kind of drove me nuts. And I thought, instead of trying to always correct myself and OCD and try to take care of things, I thought I'd rather have a little bit of fun with it. So with that in mind, if you go back and you listen to last week's episode, you probably discovered that I said things like and a lot. I normally try not to do this, but I know that it is part of the regular vernacular of people. With that in mind, I thought what we could do for this episode that would be fun is make a little game out of it. So if you're listening and you're paying attention while listening, I want you to keep a tally of how many times I say or or any kind of variation of the sort. There you go. That's a free one. What we'll do is whoever gets the closest on that, I'll have a surprise for you. We'll enter you into like a little bit of a drawing, and we'll draw out some names, and I'll have a little bit of a giveaway that I can give you on that. So pay attention to the episode and try to see how many times I stumble over things, and we will see what kind of fun things I can come up with out of my office for you, or what kind of fun things we can do with that. Couple quick things to remind you of this week. We do start our after school program back this Wednesday. That's exciting. Don't forget too, we've got Bible studies that are taking place starting at 6:30. So be here for that. We had a great time last week. We did a wonderful election of our deacons. And then yesterday, what a great time to have Dr. Matt Thomas with us and talk with us a lot about Kale and all the cool things that are going on there and how you regularly support that just through your giving here at Providence. Also, thank you so much for all of those who gave to a love offering to help them. Our desire is to partner as closely with them as we can to help in the future as they continue to seek the gospel in the lives of kids and in the community. So thankful again for Dr. Matt Thomas, and hopefully here soon we're going to have him on an episode where we get to interview with him and talk through some things. But there's a second one for you. So with that in mind, I would like to kind of talk a little bit about last week and then how that's going to work into this week. So last week we began the process of talking through the demanding of a sign and the way that we as believers tend to request things from Jesus that aren't necessarily important for us to request. And maybe there are times where we speak out of turn and God is asking for us to really adjust certain things of our life. And when I begin to think about adjusting things in my life, one of the things that happens is I talk about the process of change. Change is one of those words within church life that is either widely accepted or it is pushed into the furthest part of church life, and people do not want to see it or open it up, at least for the time being. this doesn't always mean that churches don't change or that things in church don't change. But for the most part, in church life, change is not something that is a big acceptance. I would venture to even say that change is not something that many people accept in their own personal lives in general. I know for me, I'm not a huge fan of change. One key point is this past week, as Olivia and I were trying to fly to my parents, we, through the process, began to see many changes take place in our itinerary. If you know me, I'm one that likes to be on schedule when it comes to itinerary, when it comes to planning a trip and being on the trip. One thing that I try to do a lot, and especially when I was doing youth ministry, is I would print out a map with directions, turn by turn, pictures, also a schedule of when we're going to stop, where we're going to stop, what that location looks like, and how. Part of that was I was traveling usually with 3 to 4 vans at a time, and it wasn't uncommon for us to get separated on the road. So I tried to make it to where we at least knew what destination we were going to and what time, so we could all meet up and kind of commune together there. It was a great way to keep up with everyone, but it was also a great way for us to just stay together. But any time there was a change to my schedule, I lost it. I simply hate it when the schedule that I create, whether on paper or in my head, doesn't go the way I want. So when traveling this past week, we entered a time at the airport where we kind of found ourselves in the middle of bad weather and changeover, trying to get planes from one place to the other. And it went from having a slight delay to an even more of a delay to then a cancellation. And then you have to figure out how to sleep in the airport. And so all of these things kind of happened, and my mind was just fried. And it was fried to the point where I wasn't upset about anything, but I also couldn't like imagine anything else either. So it was kind of like you're just numb to the situation that's going on. And so that was kind of a real experience for me as it dealt with change. And then I began to think, well, how do I handle this? How do I deal with this? Because it's inevitable. There was nothing I could do to make it any better. There was nothing I could do to do things different. And I couldn't make a change to adjust and alter the change that had happened. I literally had to take what was given to me, the adjustments that were given to me, and go with it. I worked really, really hard to make some things work out better. And eventually we got to the destination that we needed to go. And it wasn't as smooth of a process getting there as I had hoped. But the overall goal of the trip was accomplished. So even with the changes and even with the things that had happened, the overall intention and goal of the trip was accomplished. So in my personal life, though point A to point B and then point B to point C and all that was difficult through that process, point A to Z was exactly what needed to be there to get me from where I was to the goal of where I needed to be. The hard part about change is that the desire of change is to help us get from point A to point B, or from where we are to our goal. Anytime that we experience like a New Year's resolution that deals with weight loss or change in our appearance, there's always something that is required of you to get from point A to point B in that. And that transition time is really difficult and really hard. So one of the things I wanted to spend time talking about over this podcast episode is beginning a few parts. I don't really know how many parts. It might be 2. It might be 3. Of how do we handle the transitions that come with change? The biggest thing that we have to remind ourselves is that change is inevitable. It is natural. It is part of the process and the order of being a human being. We are always constantly changing. How do we know that? First off, when we were born as infants. We were born as babies. We were born as children who needed care in order to grow and mature. But one of the things that happened is as we grew and as we matured, there were things in our lives that changed. We changed emotionally. We changed physically. We changed mentally. We changed spiritually. And all of these things happened in that process. So the interesting piece of that is that through the process of change, as we grew older, the things of our life didn't stay the same. Rather, we adjusted and we made adjustments and we made transitions from infancy to toddler, to childhood, to young adult, to senior adult. I mean, through that whole process, we made adjustments as were necessary. So change is kind of a natural part of life, but we just don't consider it that because we call it life. So throughout life, though, we experience and we deal with various changes. Changes not only happening to us personally, but also changes within our culture. Think about this. We have building codes that change constantly. And part of that is due to the understanding that we have and the engineering abilities that we have due to the way that we try to help sustain through fire, through natural disasters, through flooding, through shifts, through the ground and the way that we understand how we build foundations and footers into the ground. And all of these things have to happen in order for us to have more sustainable structures. So even in our culture, like in building codes, those things change regularly. Technology changes regularly. Every now and then we see the new phones pop up. Every now and then we go from black and white TV to color TV. We go from tube radios to now we have the internet in our pocket whenever we want it. So all of these things are cultural shifts. One of the biggest cultural shifts that I think we've experienced in the last 20-ish plus years is the results of everything that took place during 9/11. And when you begin to think about how much the world changed in our life after that, the way that we travel, the processes that we have to go through when we travel, there's so much that we have to adjust about ourselves to meet the new requirements that come because of something else. And it's not even something that we've invited, but it's something that's been done to us. So I think a lot of times the reasons that we don't like change, the reasons that we're not a huge fan of change, is mostly due to the desire for us to not have to deal with the transitions. We don't want to learn that new thing. We don't want to have to spend more time dealing with the acceptance of something new in order to accomplish something simple. But this is still an important process because anytime that we make a change, it necessitates a transition. Transitioning in this way means that we shift from one thing or an old way to another thing or a new way. And so when we make changes, it's important that we discuss the transitions that come with those changes and the way that we shift in that change. So one of the big transitions I think that happens that we're going to talk about a little bit more today is the transition of placing an end on what used to be. And when I originally thought about this, I thought, wow, end is kind of one of those things that seems pretty harsh when you really consider the word, like, oh, it's come to an end. When we read a kid's book and it says the end, it doesn't mean that it's like, but it puts a finality to it. It puts kind of this idea that now that season is over. I recently, in thinking through this, have thought, wow, instead of saying that something has come to an end, I like the idea that we have brought that to its completion or we've finished it. One thing I think about is in churches, a lot of times when we talk about changes that happen in church life, we really think about, oh, I don't want to end that, or I don't want to put an end to that because that was really important to me. And especially when you have multi-generational people coming in different stages and phases of life, it's really important that those generations hold on to the memories that matter to them. And so a lot of times we have a hard time transitioning into something new because we are afraid that we're going to lose the identity of what used to be there. And that means something's going to come to an end and we almost feel like we're going to sever it completely. But in reality, all we're doing is bringing what was started to a finished completion. And we're allowing it to finish finally. There are certain things in church life that I think we don't have a problem with finishing. And we don't have a problem with seeing it come to a completion. Whenever we enter into a project, when a church enters into a building project, the last thing they want to do is see that building project extend on and on and on into eternity. But their desire is to have a goal to say, we're going to start here and our goal is to finish here. And I think that's an important piece for us to understand that just like we would do a building project, there are certain ministries, there are certain activities, there are certain things that maybe at one point we held dear, but as we move forward, we find that that thing it maybe isn't as necessary as we thought it was. And so we have to consider, how does this come to a finish? How do we complete this and give it the right that it's due? Even in my own house, I think that there are times in my life and in our family that we have to say, you know, how do we finish something? How do we say this is complete? You know, we always talk about in our family, one of the things was, we wanted a family with a lot of kids and we wanted multiple kids. And that was always something from the beginning, but we understood, I think even from the beginning, that there has to be a point where you say, okay, what can we feasibly manage and do? And every time that you add a kid to your home, it's a new transition and it's a new change. It's a new way of having to adjust and live as a family. But we also recognize that there's a point where it has to come to its completion in order for us to enjoy what we have. What about in your life? Think about the things in your life that you've recognized. This has to come to a completion in order for me to enjoy it. Maybe you served in the armed forces, in the military, and you recognize that, okay, there's a point where this has to come to a completion. I can't do this forever. And you worked until that point, but even when you got out, you recognized, okay, now entering into this next phase of life is going to come into a transition time. What does that look like for me? How does that happen? And so you begin the process of closing out one chapter in order to open up a new chapter. Maybe you have been working a full-time gig for many, many years and you've come to the point of retirement and you sit back in retirement and go, what am I going to do now? So you're putting a completion or a finish time on that stage of your life while you're getting ready to open up the next chapter to say, what does that look like? And that's actually a really tough transition for a lot of people. And it's a tough change moving from a regular 9-to-5-ish type work day and then retiring and saying, well, golly, what am I going to do with all my time now? And it's a real thing that people deal with and go through. I even think about families as they get to be empty nesters where you've had kids in your home the whole time. And then all of a sudden your kids are in college or they're all grown and they've moved out and they've started their own families and you're sitting there in that house, just you and your spouse. And you're just saying, well, golly, what now? These are all changes and transitions in our life that require us to say, well, how do we put a finish on that chapter so that we begin to start the next chapter? And I don't think that it's easy for anyone. And I don't think that it's even, I would say, fun for anyone. In fact, I think for a long time, we look at that transition as like a holdout and we're like, wait a second, I'm not going to do that. And we will pull back from it and we will hold out because we understand that there's a lot more that's coming to it. I always tell people all the time, they say, well, you know, when you retire, and I'm like, you know what? Reality is I'll probably never retire. I'll just keep doing ministry in different capacities. And I like to say that because the thought of not doing it weekly haunts me. So when we begin the process of thinking about transition, one of the things that I want to bring up to you is the way that we can understand this through biblical truth. The way that we understand this through biblical truth is when the Apostle Paul writes and he says that we were bought with a price, right? We were bought with a price. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And that's kind of like a paraphrase on that. But the reality of it is when we look at scripture and when we look at the life that we have in Christ, we look at the life that we have in God, we understand that through the life that we have, we are giving up an old life in order that we can accept and adopt the new life. We are giving up something in order to take on what is new, right? And so it really comes from that verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17, where he says that therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. In our own spiritual walk, we recognize that we have to transition from the old life to the new life. That we have to put a finish on our old life and our old ways and our old sinful habits. And we have to adopt the new ways that Jesus has for us. And that's what Paul is including in the church at Corinth, that there comes a point where we have to accept that change comes from relationship with Jesus. If we did not like change, we would not accept Christ, because we don't want to change our habits and we don't want to change our ways. But think about your life apart from Christ. Think about what it would be like apart from the saving grace and mercy of Jesus. Think about what it would be like if you were still living under the penalty of sin, where you deserved one thing, hell, but instead, through changing your stance of life, through changing your spiritual walk, through changing directions, through repentance in your life, and by giving your life over to Jesus, you've made that change, you've made that transition, and you said, I'm putting a finish on this part of my life in order that I might accept the grace and the mercy and the love and the forgiveness and the care of Jesus. Now, let me ask you one more question. How many people are you going to encounter today? They need that change in their life. That maybe they're desperately trying to find anything else that can sustain them, right? Anything else that can kind of help them get along, anything else that can kind of help them get by. And so we're sitting here and we're saying, all right, I've got a change for you that I think will work, but it is going to require that you put a finish on where you're at and that you get ready to start anew. And maybe that's you listening. Maybe no one's ever explained that that's the part of the gospel that is essential in our core faith. In Christ, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we put an end to the old life in order that we might accept the new life. In church, when we move from one thing to the next, it's important that we put a completion or a end date on one thing in order that we might walk into the new thing that God has for us. At your job, there's a point where you have to put an end date on that project in order to accept the new project that you have. What we're talking about is, how do we adjust ourselves from that end date to now? How do we make that happen? And, you know, I think about, there are different things that come through that. First, we hold out. I think that's one of the first things we do. The second thing I think is that we have like a mild acceptance to it. The third thing I think is we have to experience this learning curve that comes along with that. And then the fourth thing is kind of a reversion back to the second thing, the first thing, where it's like, we still don't like it. So even though we've tried and we're adjusting, we're making things happen, we still don't like it. It's not fun. And then I think the last thing that we want to look at is it's not so bad. These are really just things that I experience when I go through a time of putting an end to something and starting something new, is I'm kind of holding out to the end. And then I don't really, I kind of like warming up to the idea, and then I'm learning about, okay, well, what's this going to look like? And then I'm sitting back going, I still don't know. And then eventually it's like, well, maybe it won't be so bad. And that's how I kind of process through change and transitions from one thing to another. So in the next couple of podcasts, I think we're going to be just breaking those down a little bit and what that looks like. So Be looking for that. And we're going to look at it from even our spiritual life too, about how we handle that personally as believers, and also how that we can better communicate that within our church. So I want to encourage you to keep tuning in over the weeks to come. It's going to be a good time. Hey, and don't forget, count up all the us and the ums and the uhs, so that you can get entered into a time to win something from me. It's going to be a good time. So you can go back and listen to it as many times as you want. Hey, don't forget to like, share on this as well. We want other people to know about it. We want other people to hear it. Anytime that you're with it, you can share it online. You can share it on Facebook. You can share it through Instagram. You can text it to your friends. Maybe there's a friend that you know that needs to hear it. Maybe there's somebody else in church where you're like, hey, did you know that Pastor Charles even does a podcast? Like, you should totally check it out. Whatever that looks like, I want to encourage you to just get involved in it and keep up with it. But Providence family, it's always good to come with you to this time together. And I hope that you're thinking about some topics and sending in some things so that we can be talking about that in the future. So Providence family, love you guys. And I hope that you're having a blessed and wonderful week.